Please turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, reading from verse 8. Proverbs 19, beginning at verse 8. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a servant to rule over princes. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Last time we were looking at this 19th chapter, we got as far as verse 7. And now comes a very important precept, verse 8. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. By getting here is meant lawfully acquiring in God's way, not in man's way. He who gets wisdom in God's way loves his own soul. A reference here is Psalm 81. In Psalm 81 we get further light on this matter. Psalm 81, from verse 13 to 16. God's lament over his people, Israel, who did not get wisdom. Psalm 81, beginning at verse 13. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with honey from the rock I would have satisfied you. Here's God deploring the fact that his people had not sought wisdom. He compares wisdom here to honey from the rock, the finest of the wheat. That is to say, the word of God and the teaching of God. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. To get means you buy it at a price. It doesn't come free. It is free and yet it does cost. That's the paradox. In chapter 23 of Proverbs and verse 23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. That's how to get it. Buy it. What is the price we must pay? A clue to that is in chapter 15 of Proverbs, verses 31 and 32. Chapter 15. Verse 31, right through to the end of verse 33. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. That means we must be prepared to submit to reproof, either directly from the Lord or through some instrument of his. The word for wisdom in our verse is the word for heart in Hebrew. In Luke chapter 8, the Lord Yeshua taught the parable of the sower. In Luke chapter 8, the Lord describes the wise person that heeds the word of God. Luke 8, verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Speaking about the word of God being sown in people's hearts, people's minds, people's lives. The seed that fell on good ground is the seed that fell on a receptive heart. That is the clue to the Hebrew word heart. It means a wise person. A wise person is one that has a clear heart, clean heart. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. This is lawful self-love. There is such a thing as lawful self-love, and this is the case here. We're going to look at two chapters in this book of Proverbs, chapter 4 and chapter 8. In chapter 4 of Proverbs, verse 5 through 9. Proverbs 4 from verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. And again in chapter 8 of Proverbs, towards the end of the chapter, verse 32 to 36. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. It is an enlightened self-interest. When Shaul wrote to his dear friend Timothy in the first letter of Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will both save yourself and those who hear you. That's what I meant by enlightened self-interest, a legitimate self-love. The tree will not bring forth good fruit unless it is carefully cultivated. And so it is in our lives as well. We must cultivate the love of wisdom, the desire for instruction. Remember how Shaul put it? First, take heed to yourself, and then take heed to the doctrine. The teaching comes following the person. When Abel and Cain offered a sacrifice to God, we read God had respect not to Abel's offering, first of all, but to Abel's person, and then to his offering. And so we have it here as well. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Who's going to listen to someone who has no credibility? That's what Shaul is saying here to Timothy. Make sure that you retain credibility. One thing that can be said about that man of God, Billy Graham, was that he retained integrity, credibility. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. And then another verb, The second half of this verse, he who keeps understanding will find good. Keeping follows getting. He who gets, he who keeps. That means, if you look at verse 16 of this 19th chapter, he who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. So it's not only getting, but carefully safeguarding what you get. It means guarding it. Moses said that to his people in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself. See how the emphasis is on the person, first of all. Lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Guarding it means not only keeping it for ourselves, but passing it on. Why is the Christian church in disarray today? Why is it that there are so few people who know God's word? The answer is they were not taught as children. Every Shabbat we say that prayer, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And it goes on, the Shema goes on to say, teach these words which I command you diligently to your children. Very few people grow up knowing what it is to worship at the family altar. And by family altar I mean the daily practice in the family of reading and of praying together. That is the family altar. And it's not many homes that we find family altars. So not many homes that we find people know God's word. Moses here says, not only learn it, but teach it to your children. The Lord Yeshua in Matthew chapter 13 spoke about a man who found a treasure in the field. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Prepared to sell up everything in order to get that treasure, to get that field in which the treasure was hidden. And we can be sure that when he found it, he made sure that it was kept safely from being stolen from him. So it is here too. Guarding, not only getting, but guarding. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who guards or keeps understanding will find good. In the Brit Chadasha, we read in the letter of John, the second letter of John, look to yourselves. 2 John verse 8, look to yourselves that we lose not the things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. He who keeps understanding will find good. Understanding here means discernment and discretion. We're back again at the letter to Timothy, this time the second letter and chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what is meant by understanding, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the reward of that is that you will find good. He who keeps understanding will find good, not only for himself, but for his neighbor. That's the reward of getting. And of keeping, we find good. That is used also in chapter 18 and verse 22. He who finds a wife finds good and obtains favor from the Lord. Here it is the same language used in our verse, chapter 19 and verse 8. Good first for himself and then also for his neighbor. Let's look at the book of Job for two passages. First, Job chapter 11. Job chapter 11. I'll read a few verses here and there in chapter 11 of Job. Look at verse 13. If you would prepare your heart and stretch out your hands towards him, if iniquity were in your hand and you put it far away and would not let wickedness dwell in your tents, then surely you could lift up your face without spot. Yes, you could be steadfast and not fear, because you would forget your misery and remember it as waters that have passed away. And then he goes on to say, verse 18, and you would be secure because there is hope. Yes, you would dig around you and take your rest in safety. You would also lie down, and no one would make you afraid. Yes, many would court your favor. So when a person is right with God, he's a benefit not only to himself, but to others. Many will court your favor. That is something to be coveted. And then again in chapter 22 of Job, Job's friends said many things that were wrong against him, but in principle what they said was often right. Job 22, beginning at verse 21. Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Receive, please, instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. You will remove iniquity far from your tents. Going down to verse 26. For then you will have your delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. You will make your prayer to him. He will hear you and you will pay your vows. You will also declare a thing and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. When they cast you down and you say, exaltation will come, then he will save the humble person. He will even deliver one who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered by the purity of your hands. Here is someone who is friends with God and who is able to intercede for those who are at odds with God. Yes, he will even deliver one who is not innocent. He will be delivered by the purity of your hands. That reminds us of Moses pleading for his people. It reminds us of what God says in the prophets. I looked for a man amongst my people who would stand in the gap before me to turn away my anger from my people, and I didn't find any. So we do not only ourselves a favor, we do our fellow man a favor by being right with God. That's the principle that is being underlined here. And we have it in the lips of our Messiah himself when he says, let's look at it, John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Then Yeshua said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He who keeps understanding will find good." So the whole thrust of this chapter is treasure up God's word in your heart, in your life. Make sure that it's supreme authority. It has supreme authority in your heart and in your life. And then not only will you be a benefit to yourself, you'll be a help to others as well. So we go on to verse 9. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish. By a false witness means someone who is deceitful. A false witness is someone who not only tells lies, but who bends the truth, as they say, who misquotes God's word, who misquotes other people. For example, in the trial of Messiah, in the book of Mark, chapter 14, there's an example of false witnesses. Mark 14, verse 57 and 58. Then some false witnesses, rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.'" That was misquoting what the Lord Yeshua said. What he said was, "Destroy this temple of my body, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." They misquoted. A false witness will not go unpunished. That is, he will not be held blameless. In the Torah itself, also here in verse 5, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. In the Torah, we find it in Leviticus chapter 5. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. If a person sins in hearing the utterance of an oath, and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of the matter, if he does not tell it, he bears guilt. What this verse tells us is, a person may not actually say something that is false, but a false witness is also someone who holds back vital information. If a person sins in hearing the utterance of an oath, if he is put under oath in the witness stand to say the whole truth and nothing but the truth, if he withholds what he knows is vital information, vital truth, he bears guilt. He is a witness, says the Torah, whether he has seen or known of the matter, if he does not tell it, he bears guilt. So false witness can be positively and negatively a false witness. Positively, one who tells lies or distorts the facts, and the other, negatively, one who holds back certain facts that would turn the case around in favor of the wrongly accused. God does not take it kindly, and his word says here, a false witness will not go unpunished. That is, he will not be acquitted. Furthermore, the second half of this verse says, and he who speaks lies shall perish. That is, he who utters falsehoods will perish. It's a sad thing that we have to be admonished not to tell lies to one another. But it's found in the book of Hebrews. It's found also in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We're not sinless yet. And many times we've been overtaken in a fault where this matter is concerned. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. That's a quotation from the prophets, where God says, speak truth with your neighbor, and let not anyone imagine evil against his neighbor in his heart. Falsehoods. The fact that the believers in Ephesus had to be told that shows that we're not beyond the reach of that fault, that it's possible that sooner or later we will be found in a fault where this is concerned. The word of God says here, he who speaks lies shall perish. That is, the one who deliberately distorts the truth will experience retribution. We're going to look in the Torah and in the prophets, and then again in the Brit Chadashah for texts which describe this. What Solomon means when he says, he who speaks lies shall perish. First of all, in the Torah, Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19. Beginning at verse 16. If a false witness rises against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing, then both men in the controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who serve in those days. And the judges shall make careful inquiry, and indeed, if the witness is a false witness who has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. So you shall put away the evil from among you. And those who remain shall hear and fear. And hereafter they shall not again commit such evil among you. Your eye shall not pity. Life shall be for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. This penalty was to be imposed by the judges, not by the wronged person. But God says, the one who speaks lies will reap what he sowed, and what he intended to do in the way of harm to his neighbor, the judges were to impose upon him. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, life for life. That's what the Torah says, declares. An example of that is in the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 28. This time, it was a false prophet. Jeremiah 28, verse 1-3. And it happened in the same year as at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. This was at the siege of Jerusalem by the army of Babylon, where they had taken away some of the temple furniture to Babylon. This false prophet said, God told me that in 2 years' time, they will all be back here in Jerusalem. But God speaks to Jeremiah, verse 13. Go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their places yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, I've given him the beasts of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Therefore thus says the Lord, Behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. 2 months after his false prophecy, he was in his grave because he had misrepresented God and because he was a false witness. He who speaks lies shall perish, says the word of God. In Revelation chapter 22, we read about the fate of false witnesses. Revelation 22. I'll read from verse 12. Messiah is speaking here. And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. He who speaks lies shall perish, says the word of God. One last verse, first letter of Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow after. There are many cases where people have lied on the witness stand, born false witness, and nothing has happened to them. Well, the word of God says judgment will eventually catch up with them. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Sooner or later, God's judgment will fall on the liar and on the false witness. So these two verses are telling us, order our lives in the word of God. Let us seek always to make sure that it has paramount authority over our consciences, over our thoughts, over our daily walk. And let us beware of the warning in verse 9 and steer clear of it. May we be found true witnesses of God. And may we live and speak and think for him and for his glory. Shall we close with a word of prayer? And after that, we have time for questions. Our loving Father, we thank you for spelling it out to us like ABC. Thank you for the hearty encouragement. Help us truly to love our God and then to love our neighbor as ourselves in these matters. We pray in our Lord Yeshua's name. Amen.